Welcome to But Why Though, the podcast, a roundtable conversation about all things pop culture with members of the But Why Though writing staff. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm joined this week by Nisha.
Hey.
And Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
This week, we're going to be talking about media literacy and missing the point and why people miss the point. We're actually going to skip the news segment. We're just going to get into it, do a little bit of a shorter episode, but I'm really excited about this conversation. Which to me, this feels kind of evergreen. Like there's always someone missing the point on something. But I think what inspired this for me was specifically The Boys season 4. And we're not going to get like super deep, but like probably some spoilers. So if you're worried about that, that's your warning. And for those of you who don't know, The Boys is a superhero show on Prime. It's based on a comic of the same name. It's a commentary on modern America, and it kind of always has been. But for some reason now, 5 years, 4 seasons into the show's life, people are catching on, realizing that it is a satire of the far right, of Trump, MAGA in general, and they're not taking it super well. So, yeah, what's your guys' familiarity? Like, have you watched The Boys? Have you been tracking this drama? Was the satire lost on you at any point?
You know, I've been watching The Boys since day one, so I love it. I think it's been a great show. I don't think the satire has ever been lost on me. If anything, I was just like, oh, they're not holding punches. Like, I just like it went from being like, oh, they're making fun of Disney and Marvel to like, oh, no, they are making fun of everyone.
Yeah. And I think that's, I wonder if that's part of the confusion here. If people watched it and thought that the satire was just satire of superhero media, and it is, but it super is way, way more than that. Adrian, what's your familiarity?
Yeah, I mean, I've been watching it since the beginning. I did the last couple of reviews for But Why Though. And yeah, I was going back and rewatching it as it was going, kind of gearing up for San Diego Comic-Con, because they're gonna be doing like some Hall H stuff and things like that. And I think that the biggest issue is that the thing wasn't as overt as it was, especially in that first season. Like, you should know that like Homelander is the bad guy. The problem is that they're like, oh, Homelander's the bad guy, but he looks like me, or he's like, he has like my political views, and then it becomes more of an issue. But
he's America-themed.
Yeah, I think the satire was like always there. And if you didn't know if he was the bad guy, like 4 episodes in, you should probably figure that out.
Is it the first episode where he kills a plane full of people?
No, it's episode 4. I went back to check just for this. Yeah. I mean, he's doing sketchy stuff still, but yeah, he like completely murders a whole thing of people in episode 4. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go for it.
No, I was going to say, yeah, it's like, I don't know how anybody ever watched Homelander and felt like, yeah, he's redeemable. He's the hero. No, he's not. This is literally about bad superheroes, and he's the worst one. And it's just like, bad.
I mean, so yeah, there's the mass murder. There's love interest is a literal Nazi.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like season 1. Like season 1, season 2. So like, what else is there about this character? Like, and I guess also the general criticism of American culture with what's the company's name?
Vought.
I was going to say Vite, but that's Watchmen. Yeah, there's Vought and there's Homelander. And Vought's like a pretty sharp criticism of like military industrial complex, big pharma, all this stuff. But yeah, like, I mean, what else has Homelander done?
I mean, as much as people talk about his political views, I really feel like he does not have any political views outside of, like, whatever is self-serving to him. Like, I think it was, like, the 3rd season when he realized that the hateful comments he made that were captured, like, when he was talking down to humans, that made other humans like, yeah, he's right, you are better than us, and we should treat you like gods. Where it's like, oh, it's like he realizes, like, oh, I found my sect. Like, it's like he found his, like, target market, and it's just so happened to align with, like, MAGA. And it's just, because it's like, without guidance, like, I think every season there is a woman or somebody who points out to, has to, like, stroke his ego and tell him how strong and how capable and how powerful he is. And then when he tries,
he's a big boy.
Yeah. And then when he tries to do it on his own, like this season with Sister Sage, the previous season, like you can tell, like the whole Maeve and him thing, it felt like he just wanted a strong woman by his side. And then there was that one woman with the bait. I can't. The previous was Madeline, I think was her name. And I think it's like he's constantly looking for someone to stroke his ego and tell him like how important he is and that he's validated, but yeah. not in a healthy relationship way, but in a toxic way.
No.
And it's like once he realized, oh, these racists love me. And
yeah, once he lasered a dude and they cheered.
I can lean
into that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he mm-hmm. lasered a dude and they cheered, and he was like, oh, okay, I can do whatever I want. Like, there's nothing.
Yeah.
The superpowers are one thing, but the control I have, being able to laser a dude and no one cares, well, half the country doesn't care, mm-hmm. Speaks to a lot of like how some of these dudes can do whatever they want and half the country cares. But, you know, when you have half the country caring, you have a lot of weight.
Yeah, because I feel like he went from that to like him suddenly wanting to control everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, the guy that gets lasered, is that what leads into the trial for season 4?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so season 4 literally is a man on trial for something he did, where it's like, oh, he's too important and powerful for there to be real consequence to it. Like, the parallels are, they're so apparent that it would be labeled lazy in, like, any other context. And yet, here we are, with people who miss the point.
Yeah, and I think... maybe this is like something for later, but like, I think, you know, they went so hard with the commentary that they just like forgot about the rest of like the show. So like, if you're not there just for like the commentary, this show itself suffered for going this hard in the political commentary. And then like, was it even worth it? Because like, they didn't get it. So like, was it even worth going this hard to take away from the story? Because like you mentioned at the beginning, Nisha, like they were taking shots at everybody, but then they went very specific on who they were taking shots at.
Mm-hmm.
And it just became like this, their own ego stroke of like, look at this political cartoon we're making.
Yeah.
And then forgot about all of its characters.
No, for real. And I think that's like one of the biggest flaws. Because like, I do love the satire. I do love that they poke fun at like, you know, the MAGA. And like those people, but like it's like, let's not act like the other side doesn't have its flaws too. Like I'm sure there's definitely some Democrats that side with Homelander. Like there are Democrats who vote and make decisions that serve their own interests and have their own, like, you know. And I think they did a better job of doing that with I'm already messing up her name, but like the vice president. Because she gives off a very, like, modern, very trendy AOC vibe, who's, like, progressive and wants to make changes and, like, that'll help people. But secretly, she also has her own self-serving things that she wants to do. So I feel like that was a good way. But I'm like, they painted her in a way where it seemed like she was still redeemable. But they didn't poke fun at her. In that way, if that makes sense. And I think that's, Adrian, like, to your point, like, that's what kind of messed up for me, is, like, they could have done more with her.
Yeah, if you're going to go for it, go all the way, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah,
South Park honestly. Shows, you can do satire, you can take shots at everybody and still make a good product.
I didn't even have South Park in my notes for this episode, but that's, like, the poster boy for...
Poster boy.
People who miss the point.
Yes. Yeah,
poster boy for sure. Like,
South Park, I mean, South Park also does that very middle of the road, we take shots at everyone thing. But they take shots at everyone, and there are people who don't get that and who think that they're only taking shots one way or only, you know, punching one direction, and that's just not true. But going back to the boys, my question for you guys is there any situation or scenario you can imagine where someone misses that Homelander is the villain?
Probably, like, I mean, they went into, like, his backstory a lot in the season. Like, obviously, like, his very tragic back. Like, this dude was just raised in a lab, and they put him in a box and then told him to, you know, do everything. And he was controlled, you know, and they try to hint at that at Ryan at the kind of, like, the end of this season. Mm. But, you know, his backstory is tragic. Doesn't give you an excuse to, like, laser people just because you can.
Yeah.
But that would probably might be where some people are like, oh, well, you know, he had a tragic backstory. I had a tragic backstory. I am like Homelander. I can do whatever I want because I also had a tragic backstory because, you know, that's how most mass shooter manifestos come about. Mm. So, like, I can see the comparisons. Even if you see he's a bad guy, if you see that he's a bad guy with a bad backstory, makes him redeemable. Unlike, you know, the literal Nazi Like, if you see good things in the Nazi, then I don't know what to tell you there.
I don't think there's anything you could pull from that.
I don't think so. She was a Nazi for a very long time.
Very, very long time. And it wasn't that he didn't know. It's just that, again, somebody to praise him and to tell him how perfect and blonde and blue-eyed he was. And that he was the perfect specimen. I would say, I guess, like, to your point, Adrian, I think, like, this season, they did dig a little bit more into Homelander. And, like, they tried to show a side of him where, like, him and Ryan were getting along and like him caring as a father. And there were like those small snippets of when it actually seemed like he was trying to do better because he realized that he was repeating the past with Ryan with like to what was done with him and trying to like make him into being something that he didn't want to be. But then it's just like, yeah,
that's commendable. That's super commendable. Like, who doesn't want, you know, their kids to do better than them, you mm-hmm. know? But then you have the way that he was trying to do it, and it's
yep.
you're like, ah, well, you're just, you really are just like a monster. And then at the end of the day, it's really not for Ryan anyway. This dude just wants power. We see that
yes.
In season 4. Like, he loses it immediately. Ryan does like one thing he doesn't like, and then he just turns into a sociopath again, or a psychopath, whatever you want to call him, immediately as soon as Ryan doesn't do what he wants him to do.
Yeah, and I think, like, for me, like, I think it's commendable that they tried to show that side of him, but then at the same time, it's just like, no, but he's still bad. Like, there is nothing good here. Like, he's a bad, like, trigger warning, because, like, and I won't go too deeply into it, but, like, Ryan's conception was not consensual. And in the back of my head, that is always in my head when I see him with Ryan. And like that whole thing when he first finds out about Ryan and like first like learns that he is a father and all this stuff, like it's like you can see that Homelander's like excited to be a dad and that his son will have powers like him and his legacy will go on. But like Adrian said, like it's never been about his son. It's been about having another person to impress, like to basically mold into something that
it's about continuing himself.
Exactly. And like this season, especially with him, like the whole thing with the gray hair jar and like him like really focusing on how he's gotten older and like that stuff is just like, yeah, no, you're fragile and broken just like anybody else, but you're still a terrible person and you should not be the guardian of this child at all.
And I think, to your point too, Nisha, they just don't go as hard like on the other side, right? So if you give this like super super tragic backstory to Homelander, and then like the worst you do for the other side is that like Annie had an abortion, and like that's supposed to like make her the bad guy, or like that's supposed to like, you know, speak to like this commentary of like, oh, are superheroes really all that good all the time because she had an abortion, so she's basically the same as Homelander, is kind of like what it feels like they're trying to do to kind of hit on both sides, but just doesn't like work because this dude is just way worse. He's just way worse, you know.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't. And people like, I keep coming back to, as you guys are talking about this, like people are still missing this point, and like everything that you laid out again, in like any other context, they'd be like, this is bad writing. Like this is just not like, this is so on the nose evil, but people missed it.
I wrote about it in my review that like the commentary, like all that stuff is fine, but now it's just like too real. Like, you went too real.
Yeah.
Like,
it stopped
to the point where you have to do a, your discretion warning before the finale because of what happened this week in America.
Yeah. You know?
So like, that's when I was like, all right, well, this isn't escapism anymore. This is like real commentary. And that's not what I want to spend my time doing.
Definitely.
Especially when all the other characters suffer because of it.
So like there's a very short version of this conversation that is like, this is because people failed basic English classes and like, this is an education failing. But that's disingenuous. Like the problem is definitely broader. So like to kind of throw us in the deep end of this, not the boys specific, but in general, why do you think media literacy seems to be on the decline?
I want to say part of it is because, yes, everybody has a right to their own opinion. Like, no doubt. Mm-hmm. Yes, you have a right to your own opinion. But what I've noticed, especially when like there is a buzzworthy movie that comes out or something that people are super excited to see, people are so quick to say like, well, this is what they should have done, and this is what it should have been. And this is like, I remember I reviewed Damsel, and I was reading like some other reviews after, and because I try to never read them before I write it. But like, they somebody was just like, it would have been more interesting if they had a that the girl discovered a society living within the dragon's cave. And I'm like, that wasn't the story. That, like, did you miss the entire point of the story? And it's just like, so, like, the media literacy, I feel like part of it that suffers is that people are very quick when they don't like something, they're very quick to try to find a solution and, like, change it in their head of, like, this is what it should have been, or this is how it should have been mm-hmm. done, instead of, like, comprehending the media more better.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, like, people are so sure of their own, like, storytelling ability almost, like, because we, at this point, we're a very, like, story-centered culture, like, movies, TV, mm-hmm. books, comics, whatever. And so, yeah, is there some of it is like, I'm not going to bother to analyze what you've done because I know what I wanted to see.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so it's kind of like a, it's not even that they're not capable. It's that they just don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it's just like the internet too. I think a lot of it just comes from like people not liking something, finding people on the internet who also didn't like those things. And it just becomes like this like vocal minority that overtakes like those overarching arguments. I know like Star Wars isn't part of our conversation, but like so many people from who watched The Acolyte this season were like, oh, they made the Jedi look bad, or like the Jedi are the bad guys now. And I was like, what?
Watch the prequel trilogy?
Yeah, I was like, did you watch like the things that you're like engaging with? And also, I mean, I'm an educator. I'll say it. Y'all didn't pay attention in English class. You don't know what nuance is. You don't know what nuanced storytelling is. You don't know what it's like to see those subtle undertones. If you just need things to be like black and white, then you're going into these things not going to have a good time. Because so many of these storytellers have to be nuanced. And where I think The Boys again fails is like it wasn't nuanced. It was like very like on the nose. Here's here. Here's here.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas The Boys were doing some pretty jacked up stuff on their own, you know, blowing people up and kidnapping people and doing all these different things. So like you lose that nuance and then just becomes black and white, and then you give people a side to pick. But if you don't understand nuance, you don't can't see the underlying things that the, like the writers mm-hmm. are trying to do,
yeah,
then of course you're going to be stuck in what you expected the story to be instead of what the writers were intending, and it just becomes like this
you
know,
mob of craziness.
Yeah, you know what's a good example of that? The Barbie movie. Like I did not expect so many people to have so many mixed reviews about, like, mixed feelings mm-hmm. towards it. And I mean, from the fact that I remember, like, people talking about, like, black women shouldn't be so excited about the Barbie movie. It's a movie about a white woman. I'm like, I'm a woman, too, and I can I can still find enjoyment from this, and I don't necessarily need everything I watch to have a black woman as a star. Do I like when there is? Yes. But there's black women in the movie too. But the bigger part that was like so shocking to me is like Barbie is bad because it does reverse sexism. And I remember my mom was asking me like, so you saw it? Did you like it? Because I heard about the reverse sexism. I'm like, that's not what happens in the movie. Like they actually show that there should not like be I just have to like pull up the article and show it to him. Like that's not what the movie was about. The movie was definitely obviously made like to show that like, oh, this is like the world that Barbie controls, but like they in the end they realize like, oh, we realize how we shouldn't have treated the Kens like that, and that you are valid and that you are heard. But like it was just so it was so beyond me that that's what people walked away with from the movie. It's like, oh, it's reverse sexism.
Yeah, but like they're not even like walking into that though, right? Because like, you know, and just to use like what you said, Nisha, like your mom heard something and then did it, right? And I think that's where it is. And we're saying this as like reviewers, but like go watch the thing first before you like form your opinion. Because if not, you're just going to be going into things with preconceived notions. I don't even watch trailers anymore. Like you're just going in with like preconceived notions and things that you want to happen. And if those things don't happen, it's XYZ thing bad because of it. That's not, and I don't think that's a great way to consume media. I think it screws with your media literacy to have someone tell you exactly what things are before you go into them. And if they're not what you expected, then of course it's not going to be, you know, what you wanted. But you know, that's what we're here to like tell people, you know, to help people figure it out. But we shouldn't, you don't read the review first. Go watch it. And then come up with your own thing. And where do we learn how to, you know, analyze and synthesize information in English class? And I think that's where we're missing a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Well, and Barbie was an interesting one too, because there were people who I think half got the movie, like, and it was a lot of the people on the right who were like, oh, this movie is just about how men are treated terribly, and da-da-da. I'm like, did you not see the part of the movie about how it was also about how we all deserve better?
Yeah.
And how that treatment isn't good? Like, you're so close, but you just refuse to, like, finish the circle. You refuse to see the whole picture.
To, like, the Homelander point, I think it is just, like, when it hits home for them, like, if you act like Ken in real life, and you see, like, that caricature of, like, a man, and you feel some type of way about it, like, that's on you. Like, you got to realize that, like, they're talking to you, like, that don't be like this because of XYZ, right? Mm-hmm. I see Ken, and I think, and I'm like, oh, God, I'm so glad that I don't operate like this or need to operate like this to have a healthy relationship with my wife, you know? So I think that's what some of it is. If they see Homelander doing all the, again, back to that, like, if they see Homelander doing all these things and they relate to him in some kind of way and the characterization of him makes him the bad guy, of course they're going to be upset. So maybe, like, take a look at yourself a little bit, you know, maybe don't.
Maybe do some inner look, inner work, maybe identify, like, hey, do I have thoughts like that villain? Not a good sign. Mm-hmm. Not a good sign.
Yeah, like, if something resonates with you, maybe interrogate why it resonates with you, which, I mean, self-introspection is also, I think, it's like a tangent off of media literacy, but it is important. Like, why something made you feel is a question you should be asking as much as what did this make me feel? And so, yeah, I think those people who are like, oh, Homelander's the hero, and it's like, okay, well, why do you think Homelander's the hero? And if your answer is because his outfit is red, white, and blue, and because he's a white dude, you got a lot of work to do. If your answer is, I thought he was the hero because he had XYZ belief, it's like, okay, well, how does his vision of that belief mirror your vision of that or your version of that belief? Like, is it actually the same thing or is it only the same thing on the surface? You know, there's all these ways to engage.
Would you be lasering a bunch of people because you have the same views as him? Right.
Right.
That's how, like, I see it. Like, you see, like, you're like, that's your role model. Like, this is the guy you want to be. I don't think I want to be in a room with you. Because that to me is scary as hell as a person of color. I don't want to be anywhere near you. And people who are like praising Proximus and stuff like that, even in like Planet of the Apes and stuff like that, he's the bad guy, dude. You shouldn't be rooting for that guy.
No.
So it's like this weird obsession with like villains. I think that I've really fallen out of.
Actually,
I'm just like, that's like weird. Like, you're not supposed to like them. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to like them. You're not supposed to.
I hadn't thought about this before, Adrian, but I think there's this weird thing, and Disney's kind of at the charge of it, of like let's recontextualize our villains and give them all movies, where like that sort of led to this thing of, everyone is justified in what they do is almost the message there, or like, we're going to try to make you sympathize with what they do. And then, you know, what you get is, and I think we've talked about this on But Why Though more broadly, but like, you get the Killmonger was right, and people are like, Killmonger had a point. Killmonger had a terrible plan for following up on it. Like,
yeah,
good intentions, man. Good intentions.
I think Loki is probably a good example of them of like executing that well, where it's like, Loki was bad. Loki had a hard life. Not that hard, but hard life. You're a prince, for God's sake. A god. But point is, but like, through that, and then watching the Loki, not just like the film, like the cinema, the MCU Loki, but like seeing that part of him and him go through his redemption process, but then also furthering that with the Loki TV series and how that ended. I think that was like a beautiful way of like, ooh, let's examine this villain who has killed millions or who has done terrible things. And it's not that Loki has this like come to Jesus moment of like, I feel so bad of everything I've ever done. It's like he evolves and realizes like, I have this power and I am destined to do great things, but I should use this stuff, use it for better. And like,
yeah, I should operate with some good intentions if I have all this power.
I think that's such a big part of it. He changed objectives.
Yeah.
In a way, it's kind of Vegeta. Like, Vegeta's repented a little bit, but like a lot of it was just he changed his goal.
I mean, I still love that chapter. I think it's like chapter 61 or 60 of Dragon Ball Super, where Vegeta says, I know I will go to hell when I die, I'm not doing this for repentance.
That's my favorite Vegeta moment.
Yeah, I literally wrote an article on that just because I had to talk about how beautiful that was. Because when he said, I know I'll go to hell. I know I'm not going to heaven. I know that I've done terrible things, but I'm changing that now. Like, the whole him releasing the Namekian souls from, I cannot remember the villain's name right now, and I'm mad because it's my favorite arc. But, like, him doing that for somebody who had killed many Namekians during the Namek saga, like, that was beautiful. That's a full circle moment with a villain. Oh, yeah. Like,
yeah, this just do first frame is eating a dude that they just conquered, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, like Loki, you know? Because Loki knows that he's not a good person either, but he's like, all right, I got to figure out what I'm doing. So I think those are beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do know.
I think I think when you're like, oh, superhero, like, or villains that you should be like standing and stuff like that. I think those ones are great. Joker, no, you shouldn't. And like you said, this is because they gave us more movies about him, and now he's gonna have like a whole musical with Lady Gaga. So there's gonna be even more people being like, oh, Joker, and then they're gonna get like the wrong message again, and it's just gonna be this whole circle.
I don't need that. Like, I think, you know, the Harley Quinn Joker, like, that was funny to me. That was good to me, because at the end of the day, he's still evil. He was just trying to be a better stepdad to his family. Like, and that most
I love Harley Quinn's Joker storyline. Yes.
And then, like, at the end of it, he's like, I want to go back to evil. And he talks about it with his family. And I want us to do it as a family. And then they all agree, like, yeah, let's be evil. And it's like petty. It's like real petty stuff. Like, you know what? I hate that woman on the PTA. And he's just like, great. Yeah. Let's go destroy her house.
That show somehow, by taking off the guardrails, actually had like the most character development that I've seen for a lot of those characters. And I loved it for that. Like, it's a great show, and it's, I was gonna say it's a show, you know, like about villains, because I feel like what I'm realizing is a lot of the media literacy issues come around villains and people not understanding that protagonist does not mean good guy.
No.
Like, you know, there's Joker, there's Breaking Bad, there's Fight Club, like. Just all these things where it's like, you are missing the, or Watchmen, that's another one. Rorschach is a sociopath. You're not supposed to think he's cool. But a lot of people read it, watched it, whatever, and got the wrong message from it.
I mean, even X-Men, like this previous season with I feel like people are so used to Magneto being the villain. And like, yeah. And then it's like how it goes. I'm like, yes, Magneto was right about a lot of things. Don't get me wrong. But crashing a meteor into the earth, he was wrong. And I think
questionable, yeah.
And I guess another part of media literacy when it comes to, like you said, with the protagonist and the antagonist, is like, do people not understand that that the characters can change within the story? Like, you can have the protagonist become the antagonist. Like, Attack on Titan is Eren Yeager going from being the the protagonist to then becoming the antagonist of the final season.
Yeah.
And it's like, I talked about it too in a review, and I was just like, I think the reason why so many people have issues with Eren's descent into becoming a villain is because if you really look at it, it's understandable how he got there. Because he's a child who has been radicalized by war and torture that has been done to his people for like hundreds of years. And when he sees a solution that makes sense to him, he wants to execute on it. But that solution is also heinous and, like, inhumane.
That Skywalker-ness.
Yes, yes, exactly.
I'm bringing peace to my new empire by murdering kids.
Yeah. We'll get there eventually.
Yeah.
This is the last time. It's a... yeah. And, well, I'm realizing, like, I think part of what this is, and this is going to be... this is a very weird thought as I'm forming it, is that... we don't watch things to think. We watch them to be entertained. Mm-hmm. And we don't think that thinking is entertaining. Even though it is, like, it's to me, like, it's that we want to watch something and take it in and enjoy it and have fun and then be done with it and, like, not have to process or analyze or, you know, track plot lines and motives and character arcs. And yeah, it's like, because we don't treat thinking as a pastime, basically.
Yeah.
It's not, it has no place in entertainment. And I feel like that's the wrong, it's, I don't want to say it's the wrong way to engage entertainment, but it's the wrong way to engage entertainment media. Like, you at least have to think critically enough to figure out if there's something there or not, you know? especially if you seem to be walking away from something with a very different impression than literally everyone else.
I feel like that's
And it could be that you're overthinking.
No, I agree that part. I was going to say, like, I think that's why, like, it's good to watch things with other people. It's good to, like, have conversations.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Let's bring back going to the movies and then, like, getting coffee or dinner afterwards and discussing it as a group. Let's, like, let's get back to that. Like, I love talking about films that I've seen with people. And then, like, you know, what was your takeaway? What was my takeaway? Instead of it being in this silo where then people go online and they just yell really loudly of, like what they felt instead of, like, what was the point of the film? Because I do agree that, like, if a film made you feel a certain way, share that. Talk about that. But it's kind of, like, one of those things where, like, I try to look at the film objectively when I'm watching it. And not be so caught up in my feelings about it. Like, there's just something, like, I think, what was that show? Them is what I'm thinking of on Amazon Prime. There's a very heinous scene, and I understand why they did it. I personally cannot continue watching the series after that. But it's like, it was because they were mirroring the very, very heinous acts that, like, racists did to Black people in, like, the 1950s. But it was like, it involved a child, and I was just like, I can't do it. I can't do it. And it was a horror genre. So, like, it's like one of those things where people are like, they shouldn't have done it. It's like, even if it's horror, even if it's graphic, even I'm like, but they did it because of this. And yes, I agree that, like, torture porn is unnecessary. But then I feel like, was that torture porn? Or is it just that, like, that's maybe our boundary where I can say, like, that's my boundary. I don't cross that boundary when it comes to kids. I can't do it.
Very, very normal response, you know. You're not going online and, like, yelling about it and telling people that they're dumb for watching it or those things.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that is just, what is, like, the intent of, like, the writer? I think that what we've definitely lost is, like, the ability to, like, okay, we watch something. Okay, like, let's go see what, like, the creator's intent was in that thing.
It does. I think a good example of that is Starship Troopers, because Starship Troopers was a book, and the book is basically fascist propaganda, and the movie is anti-fascist propaganda. And so creator intent is, you know, it's not the end-all be-all. Like, you can get something out of it that the creator didn't intend to put there, but it definitely matters. But I also question, like, are there people who watch Starship Troopers and think that it is pro-fascist? Like, probably. It's super not, but they probably think it is.
Look, I watched Starship Troopers, like, when I was a kid, and I was like, oh, big space alien.
Exactly. They're shooting big bugs, and it's fun and campy.
It's super fun and campy. But then when you get older, and, like, you can like, watch it. But if you stick with that still, like, oh, it's just about the big bugs. Why are you throwing all this political stuff into it? And I was like, the political stuff was always there.
It was always there.
Or thinking that the political stuff is cool, like the, like, you know, rah-rah, like, let's go get them. This is our God-given right. And
To go kill this other species.
It's like Justice League Unlimited. And when they started to lean heavily into the politics of it, and, like, watching it as a kid, I was like, y'all can't tell Superman what to do. He can go save people. Like, what you mean he gotta only save people in America? That don't sound right to me. And then it's
like, he can be anywhere at the drop of a hat. Why would you limit that?
Why wouldn't you want Superman to go intervene and save people who are in a war zone? Everybody would want that. And then it was just like, it clicked for me when I was rewatching it as, like, a little bit older. I was like, oh my God, we talked about Marxism. We talked about the Red Scare, like, we talked, and it's just like that show touched on a lot of it.
You learned more things, and yet, you know, you're more literate now than you were when you watched it as a kid, right? So I think that's where it comes down to for me. That's what it comes down to for me. Like, it's just not knowing enough about, like, what the intent is. Like, because you can get different things out of it, but, like, if you get something completely different, then I think you have an issue, like with Starship Troopers.
And you know,
or like when, like, people are, when think, like, the Helldivers thing becomes like a giant meme, like the super democracy comes like a giant meme. I thought, like, that, like, that's funny. That's supposed to be funny. You can't really miss. You shouldn't be missing the point there. But they missed the point with Starship Troopers for some reason. I don't know if the subtext is too subby, but I don't know.
I was just gonna say, like, Adrian, to your point, like, bringing it back to, like, English class. I truly do wonder if it's just because we don't practice it anymore. Like, I don't know about y'all, but, like, when I was in grade school and high school and, like, in English classes, my teacher had us, like, pick something to, like a piece of media, like a film, yeah. a book, whatever. And then like we had to pull out the themes that were like that thing was like touching on. And then it's like, oh, well, I know I did one on like, what did I do? I think I did Justice League actually. And like I talked about like all these different political themes. And then I did, and like I talked about it. And it's just like, I wonder if it's just like because people don't practice it. Like, think about like.
Or we're not going to coffee shops, like you said.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're not. No, I think that's definitely. Yeah. That's a big piece. Because there's this part of me that's like, is it a skill issue where we don't know? And it's like, no, we do. Like, it's part of our schooling. But mm-hmm. I think you're right on it of like, we don't practice, or largely people don't practice. Like, I think I talked about it in the discourse episode of like when people have been like, oh, you got to watch this and tell me when you're done. And then I'm like, I finished. And they're like, wasn't it cool? And I'm like, I thought you wanted to have a deeper conversation than that. Like that, yeah. I thought you wanted more than that.
Yes. That part. Sorry.
No. You're good. I think maybe like a kind of closing question here, if you guys are, mm-hmm. are good with that is, why does it matter? Like, why do we care if our neighbor like understood Nope, or if our friend fully grasped what Everything Everywhere All at Once was about? For two recent examples of movies that I feel like people struggled with media literacy on.
People might not like my answer for this, but like some of these people have kids. Is my issue personally. Like some of these people like are passing these. Because kids listen, you know, mm-hmm. kids listen for sure. I grew up with a pretty conservative family, and I definitely had stupid conservative views that I didn't think were morally okay as I got older. So like if you just have these people who are just like, oh, this is like how this should be, or if you believe that Homelander is like a good person, and then your kid believes that Homelander is a good person, I don't think that's good for like the kid to understand.
Yeah.
Like they need to understand the story deeper than like that superhero. Yes, he's a superhero, but he's not a good one. And I think that nuance needs to exist, especially if you get older and you don't have those conversations and you're not pushing yourself to like understand media in a different way. Mm-hmm. It perpetuates like a weird cycle that I think is just going to that can keep on going. My neighbor who doesn't know anybody or whatever, but like if you have kids, I think you have an onus on you to like keep learning, keep doing better, so you can pass on some better knowledge then. Because if I would have kept the same views as when I was a kid, mm-hmm. Who knows where I am today without listening to someone else's views and like pushing myself to like do that introspection that we've talked about so much throughout this episode.
I think to your point, the more that pop culture and storytelling kind of takes center stage in society, like people are kind of pulling their morality from it a little bit.
Yeah.
Like maybe not consciously, but on some level it's learning lessons from what you watched and kind of letting that inform your worldview. So you need to be putting in the effort to understand, and you need to be practicing and exercising that muscle. I think that's why I care about media literacy, is like, if this is going to be how you develop your worldview, you need to do it well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if you can't get that Homelander's a bad guy, then like, how else? Like, how do you understand like the Black Lives Matter movement? You don't.
Yeah,
you don't.
And I think that's a problem.
No, and it's because like I think a lot of it comes from like being in a silo, like you said, like not talking about it with other people, not bothering to talk about certain things with other people who may not agree with everything you say or you believe. Like I love having conversations with like my parents and my friends, and I really do enjoy when like not everybody agrees on the same thing, because you know you can see a different perspective from someone else. Like I think Love and Basketball is like the one that I will bring up the most with my mom and my sister, where we are just like divided, where I was like, no, Quincy was the villain in that movie. And it's like it's a romantic comedy about, you know, kids who grew up together, fell in love, and basketball was at the core of it. I won't go on to a rant on why I hate Quincy. But in my like friend group, people know that I hate that movie and why I hate Quincy. And I'm like, but at the same time, my sister loves it and she sees it as a beautiful like romance story. And I'm just like, no, it's a story about settling. So like just to like to use a different example, but I feel like when you don't bother, and it's like I think also like another reason why media literacy is suffering is because some people feel like they're being forced to accept other people's views on things. But like that's not exactly the case. Like I don't want people to miss a point if I see a point that's different from like something they didn't see. Like I think that's the point.
presenting an idea in a movie is not forcing somebody to believe it. It is presenting it.
Yes.
Like, I watch horror movies. I see people getting murdered. That does not normalize or encourage me to murder.
No.
You know? Yeah. It just doesn't work like that. And I think it's important too, because like how your friends and family interpret movies kind of like tells you about them, and it helps build that relationship. And yeah, I think a lot of it is just that like media informs so much of how people think in the present day that like it's kind of scary to think that people aren't thinking critically about it.
Oh, it's very scary. It's like, yes, there's nothing wrong with watching something that is like high entertainment, low thinking.
Oh yeah, watching just to watch is absolutely like, I don't want to say that that's like a bad thing.
Yeah, no, it's not, and it's fine. Like I understand like if you just want to watch something and enjoy it, but I think it's like one of those things of like when you watch something that's a little bit deeper, like I think Star Wars, and then people want to say something like, oh, there's no politics in Star Wars.
No
Nazi allegories, yeah, in there, you know.
Yeah,
it's the,
yeah,
one that I always
and for me, but before you before I lose it, I think like you can have different opinions on stuff, but I think that where the media literacy part comes into it, and being able to like express your opinion of like, okay, this thing, you think the writing is bad, why is the writing bad?
Yeah.
Like, what is it, mm-hmm, about the thing that you don't like? Because so much of it is just like, this is bad, the writing's terrible, these writers don't know anything, or whatever. But those are just, yep, feelings, right? Those are just feelings. That's not analysis. That's not like,
yeah,
giving me any reason to have like a conversation with you about like what I think the things are. And, mm-hmm, if I tell you, oh, all these things, you're like, oh, nope, the writing's bad. Well, why? Like, you're not refuting anything? And it just comes back, yeah, to that.
Are you considering other viewpoints, or are you just saying, I, yeah, don't like the writing?
Or that you just didn't like something.
No, I agree. I think one of the examples that I always go to is the original Friday the 13th movie, which is a dumb slasher and very easy to write off as a dumb slasher. But if you consider it in its context, it's also kind of, you know, critiquing Reagan era like Puritanism and morality, where like, what are the things that make somebody worthy of death, and how absurd is it that those things make them worthy of death, you know? But not everyone watches Friday the 13th that way. I think I watched Friday the 13th that way once, and I was like, huh, that's a really interesting viewpoint on this movie. And now when I watch it, it's just a fun slasher, and I watch it to watch it. But like, knowing that it's there, and that in its context and its history, like, it is this other thing too, mm-hmm, to me is valuable knowledge.
Yeah, lenses, certain points of view, and all that jazz.
Exactly. Yeah, all that to say, like, I just think media literacy is important. It's frustrating to see it on the decline. Now I'm feeling like I need to start doing the coffee after a movie thing with my friends, just to, you know, get that going in them, and do what I can in my sphere of influence to,
yeah,
encourage media literacy.
Mm-hmm.
Get yourself a diverse friend group with diverse viewpoints. Watch media, engage it, yeah, talk about it. That's the best thing that you can do for yourself.
Diversity. That's the main point here. Diversity, yeah, good.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, be intersectional about it. I shouldn't have to say that, but be intersectional about it.
No, you know you have to say that, because someone's going to be like, diverse? Okay, I got a friend who grew up in the same town as me, same school as me,
yeah,
same background as me. That's diverse, right?
Yeah, definitely. Well, yeah, because you guys look different, so clearly. And it's like, no, it's, you got to dig a little deeper.
Well, he's 35 and I'm 34. I'm sorry, I'll stop.
This feels like a very real example.
We can stop.
All right. I think that does it for this week. That was a great conversation. I really like talking to you guys about that. Before we go, do you have any articles that you want to plug or media to recommend?
Yeah. One I think is kind of fitting for the topic. I just reviewed Time Traveler Bond, TP Bond on Netflix. Talk about a show that touches on like heavy themes, but it's still a little goofy. It's in that classic Doraemon style, because it's based off of the manga created by the mangaka who made Doraemon.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it does not shy away from historical accuracies and like the very, very like harsh realities based on the eras that they time travel to. And it's an entertaining watch.
All right, Adrian.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully when this comes out, we'll be a couple of weeks removed from the finale, and I'm hoping, like the prequels, with time, people will appreciate what The Acolyte was trying to do more. So that's what I'm going to recommend. Mm-hmm. I recommend go watch The Acolyte with the lens that they're not trying to make the Jedi the bad guys, just that they're flawed, and being flawed's okay. And I think that you'll have a much better time kind of going back through it with that lens, especially now that it's all out and you can binge it all and you don't have to worry about 20-minute episodes and all that jazz. Totally. That's a whole other conversation.
I think for me, two things. I just watched this morning Hank Green's stand-up special on Dropout called Pissing Out the Cancer. Genuinely pretty funny. Also, you learn a lot about cancer and how it works in that. He literally
makes me so happy. I love Hank Green.
It's an hour long and like 40 minutes of it is about cancer.
Oh, God. I was following him on TikTok during that thing. And you're like, oh, Hank Green, that's a wonderful human being. I just want all the best for him. So that's definitely good. I'm glad that he got a little special out about it.
Yeah, it was a good special. Dropout subscription is always worth it. I'll talk about that all the time. But yeah, that was one. And then for a throwback and to stick with media analysis, Alien. The other day, just talked with my coworker about Alien for like a half hour straight. And I was like, this is a good movie. And there's a lot going on and a lot to think about. So go watch Alien from 1979.
Do it.
Now, if you guys liked what you heard here, and if you want more, you're in luck. But Why Though is everywhere, from Twitter to Instagram to YouTube, Discord, Twitch. You can drop us a like, comment, subscribe, retweet, whatever. I'd love to hear from you. Love to talk to you about this kind of stuff. You can also kick us some money on Patreon if you want to keep the website going, keep the podcast going, help us do what we do and make the content that you love. As for me, you can find me on Twitter at mostalwaysalex. And Nisha, where can they find you?
You can find me on all things social media at Nisha Plays.
And Adrian?
Yeah, you can find me mostly on Instagram and TikTok these days at SuperReese93.
All right. Thank you guys again for joining me, and thank you at home for listening. We'll see you next time.